give thanks to God for his goodness and this wonderful, wonderful rain. Oh, my goodness. If I was still a farmer, I would just, well, I've never really been a farmer, just a farm kid, but I would just be rejoicing with all that moisture, just going into the ground, helping those crops get started. We are trying to grow a garden, though, so does that count? Yeah? Okay. Well, let's give thanks to the Lord, shall we? Would you stand with me as we open with prayer? Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day that you've given us. You've blessed us so abundantly with so many different blessings. But the ones that are the most important, of course, are those eternal things, those things that set our spirit in a way of rejoicing in you, our joy and peace, hope, all of those things. We're thankful. We do thank you for the rain for our area. It was so desperately needed. We just rejoice in that as well. We just pray, God, that as we look to you and as we honor you, we pray that you will have your way in our lives, that you will encourage us by your Holy Spirit. Strengthen us in faith, challenge us by your Spirit as well. And we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're here to honor the Lord. We're here to worship him and to just be obedient to his call. Amen. That's a little bit about what this song is about. Here I am, I've come to find you. Here I am, to see your grace. To bring to you an offering, I have to ask myself one thing. How can I do anything but praise? I praise. You are God, you are Lord, you are all I'm living for. You are King of everything, I want my life to praise you. Here I am, come to thank you. Here I am, a life you've changed. Because you gave your life for me, you crucified your son for me. How can I do anything but praise? I praise. You are God. You are Lord, you are all I'm living for. You are King of everything, I want my life to praise you. You are God, you are Lord, you are all I'm living for. You are King of everything, I want my life to praise you. I want my life to praise you. I want my life to praise you. Amen. Hallelujah. What does that really mean? I want my life to praise you. It's not just a song. You know, we can sing a lot of different words, but what do they mean? How powerful are those things? They have no meaning if it's not about what the whole heart is involved with. I want my life to praise you, Lord. Not just the words I say, but the very being of who I am. Hallelujah. Good news is, while you're going through the challenges of this life and praising God with all that you can do, all that you are, he doesn't leave us there to do it on our own. He's with us. Amen. And he is the powerful creator. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Hallelujah. All right, let me get this tempo in my head here. Got it. You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. You are God alone from before time began. You were on your throne. You were God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. You're unchangeable. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable. That's what you are. You're unchangeable. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable. That's what you are. You're the only God whose power none can contend. You're the only God whose name and praise will never end. You're the only God who's worthy of everything we can give. You are God. That's just the way it is. You are God alone from before time began. You were on your throne. You were God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. You're unchangeable. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable. That's what you are. You're unchangeable. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable. That's what you are. You are God alone from before time began. You were on your throne. You were God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. You're unchangeable. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable. That's what you are. You're unchangeable. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable. That's what you are. You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Well, we talked about who he is. Now we're going to sing about who we are. The world has all kinds of ideas about who you're supposed to be and who you are. But it's only God that can truly tell you of why you are, why you're here. And what he says goes, amen? Who you say I am, hallelujah. that the highest King would welcome me. I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am who you say I am. I am who you say I am.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that word. Thank you for that truth, Lord, that we can be who you created us to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This morning, as we continue with worship, there's two things I want to encourage you with. One is during the time that we are trying to do the social distance and all of that, as you know, we aren't passing the offering plates. And so if you are here and you're prepared to give in an offering, you can do it during this next song. And just come up and put your offering there to support the missions of the church and for missions in general if you have a desire to be a part of that as well. Also, you'll notice that we only have one emblem that's presented there for communion today. There's actually two things there because we purchased these individual packs for communion. It has the little bread along with the cup together. And so after the worship service is ended, we'll go into our communion. And I'll just ask you to come forward to receive that little pack, and then we'll share communion together. So I just wanted you to be aware of that. So as we go forward, sometimes, you know, pastors sometimes get a little uptight about transitions and all of that. I'm trying not to be that guy, to make it as smooth as possible, recognizing it's not always going to be perfect. But if your heart is tuned in to where it should be, regardless of how transitionally we are able to go forward, you're going to be able to be blessed and be a blessing to God through this worship, through the offering, through communion. So let's just focus our hearts on him as we continue with these songs and just honor him in our hearts and with our love. Amen. So this first song, obviously, it represents what we're doing with communion. And then we're going to talk about how we just have a longing for more of God. But he is worthy for all the praise that he receives today. Amen.
Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb, seated on throne. Crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious. High and lifted up, Jesus, Son of God, the darling of heaven crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb, seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious. High and lifted up, Jesus, Son of God, the darling of heaven crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. The darling of heaven crucified. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I want more of you. Living water, rain down on me. Lord, I need more of you. Living breath of life, come and fill me up. Lord, I want more of you. Living water, rain down on me. Lord, I need more of you. Living breath of life, come and fill me up. We are hungry, we are hungry, we are hungry for more of you. We are thirsty, oh Jesus. We are thirsty for more of you. Lord, I want more of you. Holy Spirit, rain down on me. Lord, I need more of you. Living breath of life, come and fill me up. We are hungry, we are hungry. We are hungry for more of you. We are thirsty, oh Jesus. We are thirsty for more of you. We are hungry, we are hungry. We are hungry for more of you. We are thirsty, oh Jesus, we are thirsty for more of you. We lift our holy hands up, we want to touch you. We lift our voices higher and higher and higher to you. We lift our holy hands up. We want to touch you. We lift our voices higher and higher and higher to you. We are hungry, we are hungry, we are hungry for more of you. We are thirsty, oh Jesus, we are thirsty for more of you. We are hungry, we are hungry, we are hungry for more of you. We are thirsty, oh Jesus. We are thirsty for more of you. We are thirsty for more of you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. As Pastor Emra continues to play, you can all be seated for a moment, and then we're going to receive communion together. But let's just have our hearts tuned into the Lord once again, and just think of the sacrifice he gave, but also of the sacrifice he's asking you to give as we remember. Hallelujah.
as we prepare to receive together, to remember what the Lord has done, I just encourage you to be just thinking about where you are in your faith walk, and remember that we are called to be like Him, and that will come out in the message later, but just want to encourage you to be thinking of that. This is a time of remembrance, but I also want to recognize that we also have this week and this weekend where we're remembering other sacrifices as well. For our veterans, for those who have served in our country, for our freedoms, they've also given a sacrifice. Those who have died while serving especially. And so we want to remember their sacrifice as well. Not that that's related to communion, but the remembrance part is. And so we want to also honor those who have served and those who have given their lives for our freedom here on this earth. It's a temporal thing. And Jesus' sacrifice lasts forever. It's eternal. Amen? So all that we ask is that you know Jesus as your Savior. And for children, we leave that to the parents to decide if they are able to understand communion well enough to partake. And so we just leave that for you to decide, parents. But the emblems are here, and they're all one pack. It's the juice and the bread all in one. So there's two peels that you'll have to do to get them open. But go ahead and come forward at this time, and then we'll pray in just a few moments to receive together. But just be thinking of what Jesus has done, and to just lay your burdens with Him. For those who are watching online, I think we have made announcement of communion to be going on today. I don't know if you prepared for it or not, but if you have, that's great. But even if you haven't been prepared to receive communion with us, with the actual emblems, just know that you can still participate with us in prayer and to honor the Lord during this time of remembrance as well. We appreciate your coming to our service through the streaming opportunities as well. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As you are preparing the emblems, I'd like to read what the Apostle Paul gave us for instructions. It says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" There needed to be a punishment paid out for the sins of our world, for our sins. And of course, Jesus did that for us. It was a plan that God had even before He created our world, that He would become flesh and blood. It's pretty hard to fathom that, and yet it's true, that He came to die. And that broken body of His was something that had been prepared for a long, long time. But He lived a sinless life, and yet still took our punishment upon Himself. So let's pray as we think of His sacrifice and we receive this bread together in remembrance of that. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for what You've given by sending Jesus, the Word who became flesh, You dwelt with us. We've seen your glory. And now we understand more about who you are. But more than that, we can now know you personally. And the punishment that was necessary for my sins was placed upon you, Lord. And it's hard to fathom what that really involved. But I'm forever thankful. We are forever thankful. And so we give you thanks for the sacrifice you gave that we might be justified. We give you thanks and we give you praise and honor. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's not enough to be pardoned from sin. You're still dirty. You're still filthy inside. You still have the evil of sin prevalent in your body, in your life, in your very being. And so there needed to be a blood sacrifice to bring purity, wholeness, righteousness, sanctification. And so, of course, it wasn't just his broken body that was done. It was also the shed blood that brought about our forgiveness. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And so we shall continue to do that. We remember until he comes for his bride, which is us, his church. Well, let's pray over the cup, shall we? Lord God, we're so thankful that you did not just come and take the punishment of sin. You made a way for purification, holiness, righteousness, that we can be made clean and pure because of what you have done. The sprinkling of your blood, which was symbolic in a sense of what the temple had once done through animals, now you've done once and for all, that we can be pure before you, holy, sanctified. We're thankful, Lord, that you can clean us from the inside out. Not just pardon us, but actually make us new. And that's what this cup represents for our salvation. And we give you thanks and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you for participating with me in communion today. And I know that this is a special day for many reasons. One is because of Memorial Day happening tomorrow, and it's just a week that we honor those. But it's also our first day where we're going to allow the children to go to kids' church. And I hear some noise around there. I'm not sure what's going on. I wonder if we could guess. Do you think someone's going to come through that door? Some say, yeah. I don't know. Maybe he's stuck. I've heard that it's hard to hear back in there. Should I go and knock on the door? Or should I do that? I thought I heard something. Yeah. Oh, well, there he is. I didn't even quite get the knock in.
It's taking me a while to get through the door.
He looks kind of rough.
I am rough. I hurt my back.
I noticed that.
I gotta tell you.
And I don't know if you're acting.
No, 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 it's not acting. Okay. I got a story to tell you, though.
Okay, I like stories.
I was, you know, we're investigating, okay. Right, downstairs, right?
Yeah.
And God told me to go fishing with men. So I grabbed my pole.
Well, yeah.
And I went fishing.
Yeah.
No like man fishing. Showed up. But I know that Jesus is always with me. And he said, wait for my partner. He's going to show up. Well, guess who never showed up? And so I was fishing.
Okay.
Okay, just like God told me.
Yep.
I waited just like Jesus said.
Yep.
And nobody showed up.
So
I hooked the biggest fish ever seen.
While you were fishing and no man showed up.
Yes.
And the partner didn't show up.
Yes.
But you caught a fish.
I caught a fish.
Ah.
Broke my pole.
That's,
broke the line.
I don't think you can officially say you caught the fish if you broke your pole.
Trust me. I used my hands. Oh. I dove after this thing. Oh. This thing was monster, and it hurt my back.
Ah, and so, that makes sense.
I'm going to take these kids downstairs. Now, we got to go sit as a group, just like we're fishing.
Okay.
Okay, so you got to sit with your families just like you're fishing.
Okay.
And This does really hurt, by the way. So I got to show you this fish I caught.
I want to see that.
I used my hands, and then I put my arms in its gills. Ready? Show them that picture.
There's a picture of it?
I tell you what.
Oh, wow.
That's a big fish. It hurt my back. So,
no wonder.
Come on, kids. Let's go downstairs and let's learn about who this person was supposed to show up that didn't show up that was supposed to be there.
That's not one of those sturgeon, is it?
Oh, I don't know. It was a monster, though.
That's a big fish.
We're going to be eating fish for a year. All right. Let's go, kids.
That would hurt someone's back. I see that. Well, we're going to be talking about faithful. And if you'd like to look to Hebrews chapter 10, hopefully everybody has their bulletins because I didn't do the announcements earlier, and I think I'm just going to keep rolling today as well for this afternoon. We're not afternoon yet. It might be if I preach long. No laughs, no amens, no. No, it's still morning, but second service. Read your announcements there in your bulletins. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 through verse 25 is where we're at. And let's talk about faithful. It says here, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. That's really our key signature verse right there. He who promised is faithful. And let us consider, verse 24, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. And so I'm going to do what that challenges us to do. I'm going to stir you up, hopefully, to good works, faithfulness, that you too can be faithful. Amen. Verse 25, not neglecting to meet together, hallelujah, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So coming together in worship of God, meeting together for the support of God's family, is a challenge that God wants us to continue doing. And so I hope that you are encouraged to meet continuously, faithfully, through the services that God has called you to go to. But ultimately, the bottom line is we need to be challenged in faith. Are you faithful? Let's pray as we consider these words from our text. Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you are faithful, and we know your promises are true. And we are looking forward, Lord, to walking through some of that with you today. I pray your anointing to be upon me to speak your words, that we will be encouraged in our own faith walk as we look at your faithfulness, and that as we are challenged to walk as you have walked. I pray, Lord God, that you will just inspire us all, and we just ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Faithful. Everyone faces hardship. Isn't that good news? Yay, everyone faces hardship. Well, there's a couple ways that we can look at that as far as our perspective goes. One is to say, oh, good, I'm not the only one. I'm not abnormal facing my hardships. That's a good side of it, right? So I'm like, praise God, everyone faces hardships. It's not just me. But here's the bad side of it. It's like, oh, everyone faces hardship. Bummer. I want life to be easy. I want life to go smooth. I don't want to have to struggle. I want it all just to click into place, no trouble. Everything's just hunky-dory. That's an old word, by the way, hunky-dory. I think it's still allowed to use in our common culture. Years ago, when I was in St. Cloud, Minnesota, I said hunky-dory at a youth meeting because I was the youth pastor and young adult pastor, and this young gal just freaked out. She just went ballistic on me. I'm like, what is wrong? And she said, you said hunky-dory. I'm like, well, yeah, why? What's the big... She goes, that's the name of a campground that my grandparents own. I've never heard anybody say that before. And so I was like really impressed by that. I was like, cool. I'm cool. Well, actually, I'm not cool because no one says hunky-dory. So anyway. But we want life to be smooth. We want it to go easy. But it's not going to happen. I mean, do you have those times where everything just seems to be good, and then that day is gone? and it's not so great. Those are real issues of life. So don't be upset and go sideways because suddenly hardship shows its ugly face. Sometimes we face hardships together, and so that's good. It's not like you're in it by yourself. We're all doing this together. And I think of the COVID-19 shield in place, shutdown, wherever you want to call it. Basically, it's like, what? What's going on in this world? We can't go to church and just hang out. We can't shake hands. We can't give hugs. We can't do communion in a normal fashion. I mean, this is just weird. This isn't the way I wanted it to go. And it's something that we're doing together. So there is a camaraderie that we can say, you know what, as much as we have opinions about how this could be or how it should be, we're in it and we're doing what we're supposed to do. And we'll do this together. So that's the good part of that. So it's not always something you face by yourself. Sometimes you have partners with the challenges. It would be nice, though, if we never had the tough times. It'd be wonderful if we never got sick and we could just hit the easy button. How many have an easy button somewhere in their office? Anybody have one? I've got one somewhere. I should pull it out one of these days because there's those days that just roll in and it's like, what? Oh, I need my easy button. Where is that thing? And you just, it's something that, I don't know, I think it's Staples put it on maybe. It's Office Depot, one of those places. They put on the easy button and everybody's like, oh, cool. It didn't just fix things even though the commercials made it look like it would, right? But it was a fun joke. And so I have an easy button. It doesn't work. Just because you have an easy button doesn't mean life is suddenly easy. As a matter of fact, life is hard most often, not easy. God never promised us an easy life. How's that for a sales pitch when you're evangelizing the world, reaching out with the love of Jesus Christ, and everybody's like, oh, if I follow Jesus, will my life just be easy? No, sorry, it might actually get more difficult. Well, whoa, wait a minute. So why should I follow him, right? That's what happens. We're like, well, we want things to go smooth. We want it to be easy. We don't want hard, difficult times. We want to be able to just walk through without any conflict, without any troubles, without sickness, no disease. God didn't promise us an easy life. As a matter of fact, he promised us trials and testings and hardships. That's a guarantee. You can take it to the bank. You will face hardship. You will have difficult times. The cool part about the challenge of this message is that through it, you can still be faithful. God is faithful. You can also be faithful through the hardships you face. The reality is, when things are difficult, that's when faith rises. That's when your faith is made more pure and steadfast and strong. If you don't ever have a hardship, nothing ever challenges where you stand with God. One might wonder, are you truly faithful? And so to leave no room for doubt, God brings us the challenges of life. And it's like, okay, Lord, this is tough. This isn't easy. But I'm faithful, and your strength and your faith rises. Unfortunately, it's when hardships come that it's also revealed those who are faithless. It's that shaking, that sifting of the wheat. And if your faith is simply, I'm a good church-going person that wants to do good, when the hardships come, you're going to fall. It's going to be revealed for what you truly stand for. If you are here for a blessing, if that's your desire, simply find blessing after blessing after blessing, you will be disappointed with walking with Jesus. Because it's not about the blessings. There are blessings, amen. But not the kind of blessings our world wants. You know, there's a lot of things our world would love to say, here, you can have this if you simply do that. You know, you can have $1 million. You can have the greatest side-by-side. I want a side-by-side. I want to go ATV, UTV, off-roading with my wife. We want a side-by-side. So we're praying someday we can get one of those because that would be so much fun. What? No, they're all shouting amen online. I know they are. They're saying, hallelujah, he's anointed. But you know how much those crazy buggers cost? It's like, are you kidding me? That's you got to take out a car loan or something like that. But if I walk with Jesus so I can get a side by side, and that's my faith, it's shallow. It's gonna fail. It's not true. It's not real. God's promises of blessing are for eternal things, the eternal reward of joy, unspeakable, full of glory, peace which passes understanding. Hope, the blessed hope. What is the blessed hope? Well, it's that when I die, I'm going to be with Jesus. Oh, you mean I got to die to get there? Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's a bummer, right? We don't want to talk about dying. We want to talk about living. But to truly receive the promises that God has given, you have to understand that he's speaking of eternal rewards in 90%+ of the blessings that we receive. It's not for the here and now. It's for the eternal of which we look forward to. So the challenge, because life is not easy, life can be difficult, is this: be faithful. Be faithful as God is faithful. Let's talk a little bit about God's faithfulness. There are many examples in the Bible about God being faithful. And I'm just going to give a few examples and just expound just a little bit on each one. Moses is one that we've talked about numerous times in the last couple weeks even. It's been brought up, this life of Moses. God was faithful to Moses. Here's a child that should have died according to the law that was given and according to the king, the Pharaoh, who wanted the midwives to kill all the little baby boys, which they said, no way, we're not doing that. And so he had to come up with plan B, so makes a law that basically gives the Egyptians the right to kill the little baby boys. And this boy was not killed. He was saved from death by his mother. And of course, God was faithful through that challenge of life. That's not an easy life to be living, but God was faithful. And not only was he faithful to save him from death, he actually put him in a place where he's raised by the daughter of Pharaoh. Imagine that. What are the odds that that could even happen? You can't even calculate it. But here you have the princess raising this little child. She knows it's a Hebrew child. She even names him with a name that sounds Hebrew in its nature, about being drawn out. And here he is raised in the very place that the edict was given to kill. But he doesn't just get to be an adult. He doesn't become a man and that's it. That's the end of the story. He's raised by the very people that he is later to go to and say, let my people go. Why was he allowed to even see the Pharaoh? Why was he allowed to even enter his presence? Because he was raised in that home. And because of where God put him and placed him, he was able then to go and say, let my people go. Of course, Pharaoh said, no, not happening. But God hardened his heart and they worked through the plagues, 10 different plagues, one of which actually represents the death and the resurrection, the salvation of Jesus Christ, the Passover. But ultimately, we see the fulfillment of God's faithfulness in the life of Moses, bringing him through the valleys, through the desert, the wilderness, and all of the miracles of God, and bringing water from a rock, and being able to feed people with manna from heaven, being able to bring birds that just sit there and say, eat me. I mean, what kind of a bird is that? That a quail would just sit there? I mean, at least in this day and age, you need a shotgun of some kind, right? Or a good 22, which that's illegal, don't do that. But God was faithful. Joseph, he actually precedes the story of Moses. But Joseph was faithful. The one that was special, the one was loved more than the others, which really was unfair. All the parents said, amen, you shouldn't do that. But that's what happened. Joseph got a special coat. I mean, he was like really loved because his mom was the cherished one. And ultimately, it led to what should have been a death that turned into slavery, that turned into a place where he was accused of a sin that he didn't do, and ultimately ended up second in command over all of Egypt. Why? Because he needed to set the people in a place where they could survive the famine. God was faithful. Well, you can say, well, wait a minute. Are you kidding me? He wasn't faithful. I mean, Joseph was mistreated by his brothers. He was going to be killed, but thankfully the one guy spoke up, but he became a slave. And then he ends up in prison, and then he gets falsely accused. I mean, he almost got out, then he went back in. And then God was faithful. He had a plan, and it worked accordingly. And so don't question the faithfulness of God when you see the challenges and the hardships. You really should be saying, okay, Lord, what are you leading me to because of this? Where are we going through this struggle, Lord? There's a plan. I know there is. I don't see it. Joseph didn't see it. Moses couldn't see it. David, who became king, probably couldn't quite see the big picture. But he still killed the Goliath, the giant, the man that was blaspheming God, and ended up being the king that we often speak of through the line of David, the Christ shall come. God was faithful. I don't like to talk about Job. As a kid, I always said Job. I didn't understand why the two were any different. And I'm not even sure if they are. It probably is Job. We just don't like to say Job when we talk about a man, so we want to talk about Job. I don't know what the correct pronunciation is. We're probably doing it wrong. But Job had nothing going on that was terrible or hard. And then God's just kind of sitting back and chatting with the devil, says, hey, have you considered my servant Job? Well, first of all, why are you letting him even be there? Come on. Get thee away. Go. I mean, do they speak in King James back then? I don't know. Get thou away from me. how do you speak that way? I can't do it. But he lets him say, well, of course he's going to be faithful to you because you give him so many blessings. You take those blessings away and he'll curse you. Okay, fine, do it. Go right ahead. Take them all. Take his family. He won't curse me. And he didn't. He was angry. He was upset. He was confused. I agree. I'm like, whoa. But Job went through turmoils that are hard to even imagine and yet was faithful to God. And yes, God was faithful to him. And so I want you to bring that back into your thoughts about where you are in your life. And you think you have a bad day and you're wondering, God, you're not faithful? Seriously, have you read the Bible? Because God is faithful, and he's got a plan, he's got a purpose for what you're facing today. I don't know what the end result will be, but he does. And you can trust him through the valleys and the challenges. He will never leave you. He will not forsake you. That's a promise that is true. All his promises are true. Turn with me to Psalm 36. Psalm 36, verse 5. Just a few verses I want to show you that declare the faithfulness of God. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens. How much does God love you? Well, there it is. Your faithfulness to the clouds. That's immeasurable. God is loving and he is faithful. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenants and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. How great is God's love? How great is his faithfulness? To 1,000 generations, he is faithful. That's amazing to try to comprehend. 1 Corinthians, going to the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is faithful. And probably the greatest revelation of God's faithfulness is in Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19, verse 11. Why is God faithful? Why is he love? We could talk about that as well, but we're talking about faithfulness right now. Verse 11, it says, that's not where I wanted to be. I hit the wrong button. There we go. Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His name is Faithful. His name is True. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That's Jesus Christ declaring the truth. And here we have that same understanding of who he is. He is faithful, and he is true. Well, here's the challenge. Here's a word about faith. God is faithful, yes, but faith and hardships go together. I wish I could tell you it's otherwise, but the reality is faith and hardships are very closely related. Jesus faced many, many hardships. If you think about his life, I can't grasp being God and then saying, yeah, I'm going to be part of my own creation. I mean, that right there is a hardship. You're demoting yourself quite a bit. You're the one that created the world, and now you're going to be a part of the world. And that is just mind-boggling. But Jesus, the Word became flesh, and he's going to be born into this world, and the circumstances of which he came were not easy. We know that Herod had the desire to kill him. And he didn't know which child it was, but based on the Magi, he's got to be about 2 years old or under, because that's how long they've been working to get here. So let's kill all the baby boys in Bethlehem that are 2 years and younger. And that caused his parents to flee from that area, go to Egypt. And they hid out there because they were afraid of the king. If he finds him, he'll kill him. So when Herod's dead and gone, they say, okay, we can go back home, but they can't go home, because if they do that, well, Herod's son, he's just as bad. We don't want to have him kill Jesus. So let's go to Nazareth instead. Let's go to your home, Mary. And so you have the prophecies fulfilled that are, you can't even calculate them when you put them all together. They're so amazing. But you have someone who is the Christ that's born in Bethlehem, comes out of Egypt, and is called a Nazarene. That's just three of many, like 300 prophecies fulfilled in Jesus' life. And he was faithful through it all. He faced the hardship of losing a loved one. We don't know anything in detail about his dad, I guess you could say stepdad, but his father Joseph. We don't know what happened. We just know he's not around anymore by the time he starts his ministry. So he faced the death of a father. And his cousin, who he loved dearly, John the Baptist, was murdered, and of course he had to deal with that loss. Imagine how it is to face the loss of a loved one. Jesus faced it too, and yet was faithful. He was betrayed by one of his own disciples. Some of you would say, yeah, I know what that feels like, to be betrayed by someone I trusted. Well, Jesus felt that. And he felt the mockery of the people, and he even went to a death on the cross and was faithful. He faced hardships and never quit following the plan of the Father. If there's any other way, but not my will, yours be done. And he went through with it and died for you and me. Hardships refine and perfect your faith. They go together. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through verse 9. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. A short way of saying that is, the tested genuineness of your faith may be found in the praise and glory of Jesus Christ. Your faith will be tested. Verse 8 says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. You rejoice even while you're suffering. You rejoice even while you're on trial. You rejoice. Why? Because your faith is genuine. It's true. It's real. It's not just a hearty willpower moment. It's a God thing that's happening within. Verse 9 says, obtaining the outcome of your faith. What is that outcome? The salvation of your souls. Hallelujah. Faithfulness and hardships are intertwined. I often think about how that relates to so many different things of life. I think of an athlete, for example. Some of you enjoyed athletics. Some of you like to support athletic teams. Well, those professional players and those college players and those high school players don't just get good because they were born good. They don't come out dribbling the basketball. That would be really weird, by the way. Can you imagine that? It's like, hey, Mom, where's the ball? Bum, 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 bum. I mean, that's just ridiculous. They don't come out with the knowledge of how to do certain skills just because. No, it takes years and years of training and discipline. Sacrifice. And it hurts. It hurts to be a good miler. It hurts to be a good marathon runner. Amen? It hurts to be a good player in any sport because you got to sacrifice to get to that level. Well, if you're going to be a man and woman of God with great faith, guess what? It's going to hurt getting there. It's going to stretch you. It's going to bring a little pain to the gain of being more like Jesus Christ. But it's worth it. It's worth every sacrifice you give because you find it a joyful experience to serve God through the hardships. You consider it joy. Verse 2 through 4 of James chapter 1. This sounds like insanity. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Well, that's just ridiculous. I mean, that just sounds really crazy. Why would you have a smile on your face because of a trial? That things are going sideways and upside down in every which way but the way you want, and you're going to go, praise God, hallelujah, he's in control. I love him dearly, and it's okay. It's going to be okay. Well, are you insane? Yeah, I guess so. I'm insane. I love Jesus that much. I'm going to consider it joy that I face trials of many kinds. And it says this, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You want to be a man of God? Be prepared to go through the trials and the testings of fire, and know that God will be with you through it all. He walks with you. How many know that poem about the footprints? And you have this beautiful picture of those tracks in the sand. But then in the hardest times that you ever faced, all there is a single track. And you're like, God, where were you in that hardest time of my life? That's where I really, really needed you desperately. And God's like, hey, that's when I was carrying you. That's when I had you on my back. That's when I was doing the heavy lifting. You were hurting so bad that you didn't even realize I was there. But I was there taking the whole burden as we walked through it together. And that's the kind of God we love, and that's the kind of God we serve. Don't lose faith when things get hard. Let faith rise. Let your strength be revealed and seen in you. Let your love become exponentially more. 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 5 through verse 11, it says, "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and with virtue knowledge. And knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with goodness, or godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love." You see how everything's connected? It's like, yeah, you take that step, and then you take the next step, and then you take the next step, and you continue to walk with the Lord. And that's what we're getting to. It says, "For these qualities, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Powerful. What is your promise? What is your reward for the burden and the challenge of facing these trials with faith? Eternal life. Forever to be in His presence. Well, sometimes I think about that really annoying commercial series that's on TV. You've heard it. "It's my money and I want it now." I mean, you can't get more annoying than that, I don't think. And then they even sing to it, you know. They're in the bus and they're singing and they're doing, and it's like, ugh! Is that really who we are, America? Are we that people? We are so selfish that we're demanding, "I want my blessing now." Well, don't be that kind of a Christian. "It's my blessing and I want it now." Well, if you really want it now, read the story of the prodigal son and recognize that he did that. He said, "I want my full inheritance and I want it now." And he squandered it away with selfish living. And the word prodigal, by the way, means exceedingly wasteful. It doesn't mean lost. Prodigal means exceedingly wasteful. If you want to be an exceedingly wasteful, prodigal Christian, just keep on saying, "Give me my blessing and give it to me now. It's my right, it's my thing." Or let's do the greater thing and let's say, "You know what, Lord, whatever you want to give, that's great. I'm blessed either way. I'm serving you through the trials. I'm serving you through the challenges. I know my reward is going to be eternal. I look forward to the day that I see you face to face. And that's enough for me." That's enough. God does bless in the here and now. I can give you multiple examples, and I know you can as well. But if your expectation is to say, "Give it to me now," like that crazy, annoying commercial, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. Because the reality is you don't get to live blessed lives every day with material things. The reality is some days are really hard. Some days you deal with a loss that grieves you so deeply you can't do anything but cry. Sometimes you're so angry you just want to spit out nails. I don't know why you'd want to have nails in your mouth in the first place, but go ahead, spit them. I'm not talking about any particular person here. That's a funny story, by the way. Not funny, it's just unique. Are you going to be faithful through it? Well, genuine faith will be revealed. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 through verse 6. "And by this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments." Wow, it's so simple. "Whoever says, 'I know Him,' but does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in Him. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Ooh, wow. What kind of life should I live through the challenges of this life when the hardships come and when the good days are? Basically, be like him. I was talking about that earlier in the early service, and I was reminding us of a thing that came out when I was in high school, I believe, or else a college student. It was the What Would Jesus Do movement, the WWJD. And I was so blessed. We actually have someone upstairs that has something that shows the WWJD. I don't know if you can show that, Jeanette, but she still has hers. Isn't that awesome? Look at that, WWJD. What would Jesus do? That's awesome. Thank you. Ask yourself that question. I don't know why it's no longer a big deal, because it should always be a big deal. Every day, how are you going to respond when this happens? What would Jesus do? How would he handle this? We can certainly say, what did Jesus do, and read the examples, but your life is not going to be a perfect picture of what he went through. You have your own struggles, your own challenges, but you can ask, Lord, what would you do here? How would you respond? And I think that's a great way to represent your faith well. Are you genuine in faith? Or are you a fair-weather Christian? As long as it's going good, I'm here. As long as everything goes smooth, I'm committed. As long as the blessings keep pouring out, I'm going to stay with Jesus. And then as soon as the hardship comes, it's like, whoa, 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 wait a minute, I didn't sign up for that. I mean, Jesus, you're supposed to fix all my problems. Fix all the troubles. Everything's supposed to be great and smooth and easy. No, it's not. If you have that fair-weather Christian mentality, you will find yourself in a lot of trouble. You need to find yourself as genuine in faith. Do you truly love him? You'll do what he says. You'll walk the way he walks. Thankfully, you don't have to do it alone. John chapter 15, as we wrap this up. John chapter 15, verse 4 through 6. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. What kind of fruit are we trying to bear here? Well, we're bearing the character of Christ. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Are you going to abide in him and with him and for him? If you are, you will bear his fruit. And the fruit is the character of Christ. And faithfulness is part of that. We can understand and know about the fruit of the Spirit and what's all involved with that special fruit. And it's all something that should be revealed in you as a follower of Christ. If you jump down to verse 10 and verse 11, it says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is faithful. Faith and hardship do go together. But genuine faith wins out. And you will find joy in even the most difficult circumstance. You will have peace when your friends in the world look at you cross-eyed thinking, you're strange. Why aren't you freaking out? But you have that peace which surpasses all the understandings of this world. Would you stand with me as we close? Are you here today and you just need that extra sealing of God with you? I'm going to pray and then open these altars for you to come. And you are welcome to just kneel before the Lord and say, I want to make this right. I want to make sure I'm following you with a genuine heart of faith. Is there anyone here today that could say, you know what, I've never given Jesus my whole heart, and you'd like to do that today? You just like to say, I'm all in. Anybody? You'd like to pray with me for that salvation? To say, I'm in. Okay. Anybody want to say, you know what? I've been a little bit waffly in my faith. The hardships mess me up. See, I want to recommit myself. I want to say, I'm going to stay with it this time, Lord. I'm not going to waver. If you want to pray that prayer with me today, you can as well. But let's pray. And just allow the Lord to do a work in our hearts that we can be faithful as He is faithful. Amen? Heavenly Father, thank You for the challenge You've given us in faith. You've represented Yourself so well to show Your faithfulness from the beginning of time and today. And it's not easy following Your decrees and walking this life of Christianity, but it's worth it. We're thankful for the blessings that You do give, but know that the hardships also come. And as long as You're in control, we're good. And I just pray a special blessing on each and every one today of rededicating their lives to serving You, for faithfulness to be revealed, not faithlessness. And I just pray that we will be committed strongly of spirit and our souls will be satisfied. I pray Your blessing, not just for the temporary, but most of all for the eternal, as we go from this place walking in faith. We give You thanks and we give You praise for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you'd like to come to the altars for some special prayer time, you're welcome. Otherwise, God bless. Have a great day.